Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine here for this 3:30 slot. We are welcoming in our good friends from Encourage. We have Kim Shields with us. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, James. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thank you so much for being here. And you brought some friends with you. We've got Kurt Heuer with us. Kurt, good to see you as always.
Great to see you, James.
Thanks for being here. And Kim Brubaker. Did I say that right, Kim?
You did.
All right. All right. I never get those right on the first try. Kim, it's nice to meet you. Thank you a lot for being here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I am always thankful to Encourage in the time that you guys share with other organizations and highlight and bring in attention to stuff. And so I think you won't mind too much, Kim, if I just touch on one thing really quick.
Absolutely.
The Amish School Benefit Haystack Suppers in Junction City have been canceled for the rest of the year, including tonight's supper. We know a lot of people in that area, and we certainly have a lot of great listeners out there. Just wanted to take care of them and let them know that the Haystack Suppers in Junction City have been canceled for the rest of the year, tonight's supper included. When we get more information on that, we'll let you know. But I do appreciate all the work that they put into that. They do some great work over there. And speaking of doing great work, that is all you guys do at Encourage, Kim. You guys are always busy, always doing things to help promote other organizations or ideas. I just wanted to real quickly get just an intro, how things are going over at Encourage. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, good.
Very good. Yeah. Good. We have been really busy, and we're super excited today to have two of our Speak Your Peace presenters on air with us. The Speak Your Peace program is actually a program of Encourage. It started back in the Community Progress Initiative days. Encourage had led an effort in conjunction with the Heart of Wisconsin that ran from 2004 to 2008, was extended a bit for a couple of years to do some more great work, and that was as a result of when the mill Consolidated Paper sold to Store Enso a few years later, and looking at, you know, how can we revitalize the area, how can we help with change that needed to take place in our community. And the Community Progress Initiative was born from that. We had some incredible funding from the Ford Foundation, the Barker Mead Fund at Encourage, and then also the Knight Foundation had provided some incredible funding as well, helping us to expand the program out a few years with those three funding sources. And so one of the big programs out of that was the Advanced Leadership Institute, to really teach adaptive leadership and helping to be a catalyst for change. And from that, one of the study tours that some people from ALI went to was up to Duluth Superior. And I don't want to steal a whole lot of thunder because Kurt has a great origin story to share. But but that's kind of, you know, how Encourage
got involved
with the program. Oh. And we were so fortunate to adopt the program from Duluth Superior. And through that adoption, we now have adapted the intellectual property for the program as well. So, which is amazing. And through Encourage, then, we're able to offer this program for free, have these incredible trainers, you know, make sure that everything is following the initial tenets of the Speak Your Peace program. And so we're really, really fortunate to have this program in our community and to have these great presenters.
Kurt, I think this is, she set you up perfectly. Kim's
she
good
did.
At this. Kim's very good at this. She set you up well. Let's get into that, Kurt, if you don't mind. And again, thank you for being here.
Yeah, you bet.
So
thank
for
you.
Audience people that might not know, what is Speak Your Peace? Let's get into the program, a little bit of the background, the origin of it.
Yeah, it's really a great progress piece, like Kim had shared, around civility. And it's really, if communities are going to move forward, we need to do that with civility, right? Mm-hmm. We need to be able to respect others' opinions and whatnot. I'm actually going to take us back to 2008 when the Domtar Mill in Port Edwards closed, and 500 jobs were lost. And I remember a very resilient greater community coming together, led by the Community Foundation of Southwood County, and having a packed gymnasium in Port Edwards at John Edwards High School. And as Kim mentioned, a number of us were able then to take a trip up to the Duluth Superior area to take a peek at what had happened to revitalize that area. Because we'd suffered other losses here. We had the 500 jobs at Domtar in Port Edwards. I grew up in Port Edwards. I could walk out our front door, look down Wisconsin River Drive, see the mill, and now that's closed. It's like, wow. How do we respond to this?
Yeah.
We lost Schreiber Foods, 235 mm-hmm. jobs.
Yeah.
As Kim mentioned, we had the consolidated sale to Storenso, and we started seeing changes in employment numbers, flattening. And so how do we respond to this? Well, you do it through resiliency, and you look at other opportunities, right? And to do that, we needed to have some tools. Well, we jumped on a bus, we went to Duluth Superior, and it was an amazing couple of days. And one of the things that we brought back with us was Speak Your Peace. And it was really the buzz of the bus on the way home.
Hmm.
And it really struck me, it struck others. And we said, you know what, if we're going to do this in our community, look what they've done in Duluth Superior. And I'm going to share this really quickly because I think it's important for people to know we learned from communities that were really hitting rock bottom,
mm-hmm.
that were not getting along. The sister cities were not playing well together. Politics was an absolute blood mm-hmm. sport. You had to be very thick-skinned to be involved in politics. And it was ugly. The story I love to tell, and it's true, and I quiz people, were you up in the Duluth Superior area during the rough times? Not many people will remember that, but those that do, I always ask, do you remember the billboards? And they're mm-hmm. like, well, leaving Wisconsin, Superior, going across the big bridge to Duluth, mm-hmm. this is how well they got along. There was a billboard that said, next to Duluth, we're Superior.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, jeez. Dang.
Right? Just a little in your wow. face, right?
Just a little bit, yeah.
And if you spun around and did a U-ey on the other side of the bridge leaving Duluth, there was an anonymously funded billboard that said, last one out, turn off the lights.
Oh, wow.
They were like, you know, it was
just
being
back and forth.
So
yeah.
When it came time to resurrect, how do we do that? Well, a Millennium Group came together, a very diverse group of 100-plus from throughout those communities came together and said, how do we fix this? And mm-hmm. one of the things they used was PM Forney's work around civility, who's an amazing author and professor of civility. And they chose 9 tools, which Kim is going to touch on. And they said, if we're going to do this right, and if we're going to change the landscape, and if we're going to change how we respect each other's opinions and get to some common ground, et cetera, and this will all resonate in a bit, we have to be able to do that respectfully. So they brought Speak Your Peace into the conversation. Politically, they were signing on saying, if we're going to do these things within our community, we're going to do it following these tenets, these 9 tenets. And they saw great change. What we saw when we went was an incredibly vibrant Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a Superior and a Duluth that were getting, the sisters were getting along.
Nice.
And I met, and I love sharing this story, I met and talked with a county board supervisor, a gal that reminded me of my mom, mm-hmm. who said I would never have run for county office had it not been for Speak Your Peace.
Wow.
Because it was such a blood sport. So that meant a lot to me, and when we had the opportunity to bring it back to this community, the foundation up there was so gracious in offering that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really had a great impact here. So,
yeah. And it sounded like it didn't just have an impact on you, but the team, the group that went up there, you brought this back with you. And it sounds great. It sounds like something that very few communities would turn down or wouldn't want. But I imagine that it involves some training. So a little bit of that to it. It's not one of those things that, it took us a while to get recycling down. It took us a while to remember to put our seatbelts on. We've got examples in society of proof that we can rewire things. We can mm-hmm. do different. We can be better. It doesn't happen overnight very often. So Kim, if you don't mind, other Kim, if you don't mind, I'd like to get into a little bit of that training,
sure.
a little bit of what that involves and how that impacted our community.
Absolutely. I want to start out by saying, like, how I became involved, because mm-hmm. this is all volunteer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I had colleagues that had attended the leadership training that mm-hmm. Kim was talking about, and I also had friends that worked at Encourage,
mm-hmm.
and they had reached out. They were reaching out to community members to see if they would be interested in delivering this message.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I came into play.
Cool.
Basically, Kurt and I, 2 years ago, maybe a year ago,
it was probably 2 already.
Speak Your Peace was kind of put on hold because of COVID.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was not getting asked to deliver this message. Mm-hmm. And so Kurt and I delivered it for the first time together. Mm-hmm. And we had a great response, and it was just a wonderful experience. And so Now I'm going to tell you what we did. So Kurt introduces the speaker piece, the message, gives the background. He was there. His experience with learning all that and also getting the feedback from the community, from Encourage, incredible background information that he has, as well as experience with it. And so for me, the nine tenants, they're kind of common sense. But a lot of times I think we need reminders where we know sometimes that maybe we can be a little divisive. We can, you know, our community can be a little divided, or our country can be divided. And so kind of having these nine tools in our minds, you know, and really being aware and responsible of the words that we're saying can really impact your relationships with other people, your relationships with your colleagues, your family. So what we decided to do was, instead of just like reading them off, like here are the nine tools, it made more sense to get people involved. So what we do is we give the attendees the nine tenets. And then we have a discussion about them where each of the attendees or participants, they're actually sharing an experience connected to the tenets. And that opens up a conversation. And what we have found is, you know, learning happens in groups. And maybe this is not new information, but it is definitely something that when you are having a discussion about it, or others are like, oh, I can relate to that, I had that same experience, that is really powerful. So with that said, I am going to read the nine tenets. Here we go. Today I will pay attention, listen, be inclusive, not gossip, show respect, seek common ground, repair damaged relationships, use constructive language, and take responsibility. So as I'm reading those, it's like, well, yeah, we should all be doing those. And again, I do think it's a great way for people to share their experiences. And we've had some great sharing of experiences. And when you find common ground with others who've experienced the same thing you have, I mean, that's really impactful.
You know, I think a lot of us hear that list, and like you touched on there, Kim, and thank you again, nicely done. It is common sense, a lot of this stuff. But like a lot of things in life, it doesn't hurt to be reminded. It kind of gives us a reset oftentimes. And I also think that like a lot of other people that are listening to this are like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that don't do any of these things and that we really need them to, because in part, a lot of those people I'm thinking of and talking about are in the public eye and we need them. There are everything we're doing. It's all great. We can have fun and enjoy it. But if you're not building for the future, if you're not building for kids, then what are we doing here? And kids are watching. Kids are looking. And kids are seeing how politicians are treating each other, how we are treating each other in these things. I would love to see every human being, specifically politicians, do this every day, every time before they go on the air or they talk, and how they treat each other. I think that you would see a very different world if we can do these things and we can build towards this. Because these nine tenets, which are not only a great band name, you and your brother, him and I had this running gag where, oh, new band name, nine tenets, new band name. It's not just that. It is impactful. I don't want to get too into the weeds here, and I apologize if I am offending anybody with this. I really, truly don't mean to. But I think of the Ten Commandments. And I don't think you have to be religious or anything to follow the Ten Commandments. And when you hear those Ten Commandments, I think like a lot of people are like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's all stuff that you should be doing. You shouldn't need to be told to do these things. It's just something that's instinctual. I get the same thing from this. I'm looking at this list and I'm feeling the same darn thing from it. So right away, I think that there's also something here that is beautiful and organic of bringing people into this and being a part of this. You're not asking anybody to do something that hopefully they're not already doing. I think that's part that makes it even easier and more impactful. Kurt, you have something?
I do. You know, it starts with ourselves, right? It starts with me.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
When I think about that, I want to share a survey statistic that we actually use. It was a national survey that the question was posed to whatever that number may have been, a national survey. Do you think people are rude? And 85% of those polled said absolutely. And they said, are you rude? 99% of those same population said no.
Yeah.
So
I think that sends us a message. And
I will share this.
That resonates with me. And I know that through body language, through my actions, through my voice and whatnot, I'm sending a message and I can control what I can control, right? Not anybody else. So I challenge myself every day, and I'm far from civility perfect, right? And so, but I will challenge myself, and I'll expect others that know these nine tenets to challenge me as well. And that's how we get better. It starts with ourselves and then we move it forward.
Yeah, personal responsibility. It's not just important with this subject or anything and in life in general, but it's how you learn and get better. And that's one of the funnest things about life is growing, evolving, becoming better, becoming more and more the person that you want to be. That's how you do that. Self-accountability, awareness. Self-awareness is a big part of that. We're talking a little bit about training and for this. And if you guys don't mind, if we can get some examples of training and or attendee feedback, that'd be great. I don't know which one of you want to take that one.
Absolutely. Some feedback, and I know I should be looking at Kurt. The very first time we delivered this, we delivered it together was at City Hall with a variety of individuals. And what I noticed, we had people coming up to us afterwards. How do I get this at my organization? Mm. Who do I need to contact? We really need to hear this message. There were a lot of HR representatives, mm-hmm. But we also had the fire chief. Was the fire chief there?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. And that led us to delivering it to the fire station, which was an incredible experience as well. And just really getting people talking. When you're standing in front of a room, we've also delivered to individuals who you're thinking they're not going to speak. Mm. Like, it's going to be very quiet. Yeah. Kurt and I are going to be doing all the talking, and I never want that. Kurt, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. And what we found is we engage them.
Yeah.
You know, when you ask people about themselves and about their experiences, sometimes they start sharing things that, and they'll say, please don't share this.
This is just between us.
And sometimes people call themselves out, like, oh, man, here's what happened when I did this thing. And it's just kind of like a light bulb goes off, like, wow, I didn't realize that this thing came way back around, and a lot of people were affected negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, you look bad.
Yeah.
You know, if you just really think about what you're going to say, which absolutely is difficult for many people, including me, because I do like to talk a lot. And I really do try to focus on, you know, is what I'm saying, am I going to be offensive to someone? Mm-hmm. Are they going to interpret it in a way that I do not want them to interpret that? And that goes back to body language. You know, even just smiling, even looking someone in the eye, just, I do think with COVID, we lost a lot of the in-person, a lot of the social skills that develop, and primarily, you know, talking about kids, but also in the workplace.
Yeah.
Everybody's working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So other feedback, what am I missing?
Hmm.
Well, you've really captured it very well, Kim. I think the cool thing when we present, and I'll go back to our time at City Hall, we thought maybe this is going to be a tough crowd. I mean, we're talking with HR directors. We're talking about command staffs. We're talking about people that really know and own communication, right, or certainly should. But there were a lot of aha moments. You can see it. You can see it in their interactions. There was another group with, if Kim wants to share who it was, she can, but I won't. But there was a tough group that we got asked to go speak in front of. We were both like, wow, how's this going to go?
Yeah.
We walked out of this presentation and this interaction with this group totally stoked. It was one of the most interactive, energizing presentations that she and I have done to date. And we're like, wow.
It was incredible. That, I've got the chills.
But that, you know what it did, James? It validated what this really is. And it was like, holy cow, there it is. So that was pretty cool.
I love any opportunity to look inward in life. I don't think we get a chance to do that very often. And even when we do, so much of this is we're building the boat while we're on the water. You know, in a perfect world, we'd be able to go over some of these things and, oh, okay, I'm going to go off in the woods for a month and just, you know, dissect all this big emotional work that I've done and everything. And that ain't how life works. It's in real time. We got to keep moving here. It's nice to have these things that are make you stop and remember. Like, my body language. Kurt, you said that, and man, I felt that. I felt that. I work really hard to treat everybody I meet, even people I don't like, maybe with grace or whatever, kill them with kindness, that whole thing, that kind of stuff. But my body language betrays me. I didn't pick up on this until very late in life. And I oftentimes think about it and feel kind of bad for how people when I was younger and growing up and everything, I had no problem with them, but they probably thought I was mad at them or something because of my body language and that. It's something to this day I'm working on and trying to get better about. I think that was a really good note. Things like that we can always fine tune and rework and get better then. When it comes to any of this stuff, especially for anybody listening to it and thinking that it's difficult or anything like that, I come back to an example that I bring up only because it's, I just am the last person in the world that I think most people that knew me when I was in high school would ever think I would be a positive person or I'd be doing a job like this or I'd even be in Rapids here, to be honest with you. I was the opposite of all those things in high school. I was moody. I was a knucklehead. It was all that stuff. And I slowly, throughout time, got tired of being that guy. And I realized, well, no pill was going to fix that. Psychology can help a lot, but you have to do the work yourself, too. They can only do so much. So I slowly work and work to try to see the silver lining in things and the brighter side of things and stuff. And now, even if I want to be in a bluesy mood, like I want to listen to some blues or something like that, just be in a, I can't do it. My brain will not allow me to do it. It looks at the positives of it. I'm listening to B.B. King and he's like, well, you know, he sold a lot of records. Like, it's my brain, come on. It can happen. You can do these things. You can do it. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Does the dog want to learn?
Exactly.
It don't matter what age the dog is. If the dog wants to learn, it can learn those tricks. You can do this, and you can be a part of a program like this that that can impact your community, that can really make a game, that can be a real game changer.
Well, and the thing we brought back to James was the notion that, you know, the question came up on the bus coming back from Duluth Superior. Who needs to hear this? Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, everyone, right? And so that was loud and clear, and we've been able to present through Encourage's support. I've done from first grade on up, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked to political entities, we've talked to school boards, we've talked to anybody and everybody that will have us come in and have a conversation, and we love doing it. We welcome those requests. We want to see those requests keep coming. And, you know, we're not going to boil the ocean, but one little cup at a time, and let's,
absolutely,
in our community, and let's get it done. So
everybody impacts their zip code. Before you know it, that's all connected, and we've got a better world. And it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take rocket science or anything. Thank goodness, because I'm not good at that stuff. This I can do. That I can do. Can't do the other stuff. Kim, as we're wrapping up here, if people want to know more about this, they want to be a part of things, maybe they do want to have a presentation or request one of those, how can they do any of that?
Thanks. So go to our website at encouragecf.org and click on the lead tab and speak your pieces right there. Scroll to the bottom and it's request a presentation. An email will be zipped off to us and we'll respond as soon as we can and try to coordinate. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And
I always like to motivate people. You have ideas, you have thoughts to ways to improve our community. Reach out to Kim and the gang and Encourage. Mm-hmm. That is what they're there for. They want to hear from you. So please do that. And you can find out more by going to encourage. encourage CF.org or encouragecf.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage. Follow them on social media. It's a great follow. Kim, thank you for the time. Appreciate
thank you.
And I can just say Kim, right? And that covers both of you.
Thank you.
That was good. Nicely done. Both of you, thank you very much. Kirk, good to see you. Thanks for
great
the time.
To see you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.